Thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing us together today. Thank you for allowing us to celebrate together, to enjoy the fellowship that you make possible in your family. Open our hearts today as we hear from your word and endeavor to live holy before you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I imagine all of us have memories of Halloween growing up. When I was, we didn't trick or treat except when I was very young. I think maybe before my parents figured out they didn't really want to do that anymore. I can remember being 3 or 4 years old. I can vaguely remember, I think it was like a little red knit bag. And I don't remember if I was dressed up as anything or not, but I remember the bag and I remember the candy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that might have been the last time we did that. And before they decided that that wasn't something we should do anymore. And I remember in second grade, you know, the school was doing it. And mom and dad weren't having it. They weren't having any part of that. But we had a family living with us at the time. So the older boy that was there took it upon himself to make sure I could participate. And he made this costume out of paper sacks and aluminum foil. Silliest thing you ever did see. But I still remember it. I still remember having that thing. And going to school. Now, how it is, since mom and dad were taking me to school, how it is that I actually got to school with that, I still haven't figured out. I guess they decided not to push it for whatever reason. Maybe peace with the family that was living there. But that wasn't something they wanted. Because we have this controversy in the church about whether we should have anything to do with it. Linda tells a story about a little girl at the car shop. Somebody mentioned Halloween. She piped up and said, "That's the devil's holiday. We shouldn't celebrate that." It does have in its roots pagan customs that don't have anything to do with Christianity, and it is associated with some things that are definitely evil. But at the same time, if another group that says, "Well, it doesn't mean anything. It's just harmless fun." Nobody's celebrating Satan. Everybody's just having fun.
Right.
Nobody's actually celebrating evil. And even some churches have it. We were in a church, I think, along that time. They had a haunted house for the kids in the church. And of course, there are also some Catholic church practices that kind of get mixed in. So what's the truth? What should a Christian do with this time of year? The history, and I'll get into that a little bit more in a minute, the history is a mix of bad theology and paganism. Modern practice, though, has largely left these origins. We don't know why we do what we do. We just do it because it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
But as Christians, at least my belief anyway, is that it's all right to enjoy the things that are appropriate,
mm-hmm.
but we ought to avoid celebrating things that are evil, that are not appropriate. And that we ought to, in all cases, not just at this time of year, but throughout the year, find opportunities to share the gospel. Because that's what we're here for.
Amen.
If you look into the history, there's some competing information out there about how it all got started. There was a Celtic festival called Samhain that it was where they would the souls of the dead on that night, the souls of the dead would return. And the rituals that they would have would be they'd wear costumes and they would light fires so that they could repel the souls of the dead that were coming back. was a Roman festival where we get the apples and the nuts, and those were given to one of the Roman gods. It's part of the celebration in service to one of those Roman gods called Pomona, who was the goddess of fruits and seeds. And it could be the where we get the origin of bobbing for apples. It shows up later. The Catholic Church had a under Pope Gregory IV, moved about 835 AD, moved what became All Saints Day from May the 23rd to November 1st. And so thus the day before November 1st became All Hallows Eve and got shortened to Halloween. Hmm. The Catholic Church now celebrates All Souls Day on the 2nd, and that whole period of time is collectively called All Hallows Tide. I don't know that I've ever heard that. I'm not sure that's really modern information or not. But they would have memorials of past saints during that time. And prayers also for souls that were in purgatory was one of the things that would happen during that time. The practice, though, that a lot of this came out of, kind of this mix of pagan and Christian practice. You had the predecessors, if you will, to the modern practice, is where people would leave an empty place, or they'd leave out food to placate the spirits of the dead. They'd leave an empty place at the table, or they'd leave food out for their relatives in case they came back. Mm. And they would light candles and say prayers for the dead. Mm-hmm. Fortune telling would also be a part of this. And then the bobbing for apples comes up there as part of that practice. And sometimes you would even have church leaders involved in these ceremonies. Mm. Well, of course, trick or treat being a big part of Halloween. Where did we get that? Well, there was a practice back in that time called mumming or guising, and it would be kids out entertaining in exchange for food, and they would be dressed up in costumes. And sometimes they would maybe be pretending to be evil spirits. And they would offer either reward or bad luck.
Oh.
And then the Scottish youths, though, there were some youth in Scotland that started to bring in the tricks part of it, where they would do something bad if they didn't get what they wanted. And it came here with the Irish. Hmm. You also had a practice called souling. And that was where poor children who were begging for food would come and they would ask for food in exchange for prayer for the dead. That they would pray if you would give them food. And so people would make what they call soul cakes, which is also where you get the hot cross buns. That was also something that was done at Christmas time. But then you have the jack-o'-lantern. The jack-o'-lantern was originally made out of a turnip, and they would carry it to light and then light it with a candle to ward off evil spirits and carry it around with them. And when the Irish immigrated here, they switched to pumpkins and started using pumpkins. That's how we ended up with the jack-o'-lanterns. The pumpkin carving actually may not have had anything to do with Halloween specifically. Just something that was done during that time of year. and kind of got merged in. But there's something else that goes on at this time of year. Post Martin Luther, we also celebrate Reformation Day, because that is when Martin Luther put the 95 Theses up on the door of the church there, where he was condemning some of the practices that the church at the time had gotten into. And of course, brought about a Reformation and brought about the Protestant movement. And he's saying there's no such thing as purgatory. If there's no such thing as purgatory, then these spirits have to be evil. Mm-hmm. So, what does the Word have to say? If we take as our source the Word of God, the Bible is the Word of God. What does the Bible have to say, and what kind of direction can we get from it on how we should look at these things? Romans 13:12, which is the only thing I have up on the screen today, says, "The night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of evil, of darkness, and put on the armor of light." Obviously, we don't have to be told we shouldn't do evil, but we also shouldn't glorify evil. And this is important because children are watching us. You know, we can play games and that's fine. We understand that we're playing games. But kids are watching. Kids are paying attention.
Right.
And now they understand play. Everybody understands, even little kids understand pretend. But the thing that we need to be careful of is that they can become fascinated. They can become fascinated with these things. And the fact of the matter is, there's real evil out there. Mm-hmm. Satan is not a cartoon character. He's a real entity. And when we paint him as sort of the evil version of Santa Claus, then the message that we're communicating was, well, that's not real either. But he is real. Now, we don't need to fear him as children of God, but he is real and he has power. And the last thing we want to do is encourage people to dabble in that. Folks, there's no such thing as a good witch. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't people who think they are good who are into witchcraft. But anything, any power that sets itself up as an alternative to God or sets itself up in opposition to God is by nature of the devil. And anyone who says that they can control spirits or control events or control things by their own power or by spiritual power that is not the power of God, there's only one other source, folks. And so we don't want to be encouraging our young people to get interested in that kind of thing and get involved in it, because it will pull them away from the good. It will pull them away from light. Now, most of the customs aren't necessarily evil in themselves, especially with current practice. But and you are free to engage in those things if you so choose. But keep these things in mind. For one thing, we also need to be careful about how we judge other people that may be doing some of these things. We explain. But we need to separate what's truly bad from what's just not stuff we like to do. And, Romans 14:4 says, "Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand because the Lord is able to make him stand." Right. Whatever we do should be done in love. There's some things maybe we shouldn't practice because we don't want to cause our brothers and sisters to stumble.
Right.
Especially the young ones. We know how Jesus feels about that. In 14:13, Paul says, Romans 14:13, Paul says, "Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather to determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. My advice on just about anything, really, is when in doubt, don't.
Right.
Also in Romans chapter 14, verse 23, Paul writes, but he who doubts is condemned. And this is actually, let me back up a minute, because you know, the context here has to do with eating. Eating things that are sacrificed to idol or participating in certain festivals. And so that's kind of the context and why this verse reads the way it does. But it says, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And whatever is not from faith is sin. That's why I say, when in doubt, don't. Better to deprive yourself of something and be right with God than to go plow ahead and end up causing yourself or somebody around you a problem. It's not worth it. Honestly, there's nothing really good about Halloween. It's full of pagan practices and bad theology. And honestly, I think when the church involves itself in it, it's trying too hard to accommodate the world. So many of the things that we do is we're trying to not look like we're sticking to mud, not look like we're holier than thou. We're trying to please the world by the things we do or give them a reason to like us.
Right.
But that's not what God called us to do.
No.
God called us to be agents of the truth.
Amen.
And by all means, don't glorify the evil.
No. No.
Celebrate life, not death. Celebrate love and not fear. If you want an adrenaline rush, if you want to be scared, make it count for something. Go overseas, be a missionary in a country that wants to kill Christians or something. There's your adrenaline rush. But you know, of course, there are things you can do here that are healthy that give you that same kind of pump without looking for evil sources to be scared.
Right.
And finally, take opportunity to redeem what Satan means for evil. It's okay to have fun. The purpose of the customs is long lost. A lot of things we can be part of without violating our faith. And look for ways to redeem the time. One of the things we can do with the kids, especially, is we can teach about the reparation. And we can teach about those saints in the past who were martyred for their faith. You can use it as a time where we can still have fun, and you know, churches have all kinds of different things that they do that are completely innocent and just designed to give kids a way to enjoy the season that don't have any connection to the evil practices that most people are celebrating. We can do that. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
And we should, perhaps, in that we have the opportunity to share the truth and to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Take what Satan meant for evil and turn it into something good.
God always does.
Amen. So thank you, Lord. Thank you that we serve an almighty God, that you love us, that you care for us, that you in fact will ultimately conquer evil, that we stand on the side of good and of righteousness, and we serve a righteous King. Lord, help us during this time not to be off-putting or judgmental or mean to people who are not doing things the way we think that they ought to be done, but rather to take the opportunity to say, hey, there's a better way. Mm-hmm. Let me show you a way to find love instead of fear.
That's right.
To find life instead of death.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.